Well, it's great to see you guys here this morning. It's great to see our visitors. Good to have you. Pray God continually bless you throughout the course of the service. I have something I want to share with you. Just pray for me. I'm not doing good right now. I got this. Everybody's being dealt with by this cold or whatever it is. But I do want to say to you, at saying that, I do want to say that the cold can't stop God.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what I feel like. As long as he's okay, what he wants to say will come out okay. Okay? Amen? How many of you are looking forward to your dinner this afternoon? I know y'all are, because we are about eating food in this place. We're about having good food. But I believe that God wants me to share something with you this morning that's good food for your soul. And I believe God wants me to give you something that's going to prepare us, not just to have our life here on earth, but to be ready. Let me express this right now. He wants us to be ready for his return.
Yeah.
And so I want you to go to your Bibles in Matthew chapter 24. And I want to read a few verses. Matthew chapter 24. It's good to see visiting. I'm definitely glad to see Miss Natasha back here. We knew this girl since she was a little girl. And we've known her. You know, her mom and dad used to come here to this church. Her grandfather was the pastor of the church whom I took over from. And that is his granddaughter right there. And I'm so glad to see her. And not only that, but see, we got history in here right now. And over here, see, these two right here, they go way back when they were little babies. And here they are sitting. We got history in here today. And so I'm happy for that, because it's good to see the restoration of what was lost back to what is being found. Hallelujah. And so I want to encourage you this morning, if you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 24, I want to begin to read from verse 36. It says, "But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in a field, and one be taken and the other left. Two women all grinding and milling, and one will be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming." I want to talk to you, and I ask you this question: are you ready? We used to have an old song that was sung by this group called Commission. And one of my favorite songs said, "Will you be ready when Jesus comes?" And it went a little bit like this: "Will you be ready when Jesus comes? Will you be ready when Jesus?" How many of you know that's a good song right there? I might not be doing it justice, but the song's message is clear. And I was going to get Sister up here to help me sing it, but I thought I better not do that. But that's a good song. It went like that, and it stirred an emotion in you that no other song. When you talk about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can talk about a lot of things, but when you talk about his coming, it stirs something deep in the inside about preparation. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of messages preached in church today, and it's really good. Self-development, financial success, and all of these other different things, and that's good. But I found that if we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ returns, a lot of these things that we talk about in church will be taken care of, simply because we'll be willing and wanting to prepare to see him. I don't know about you, but there's, you know, this desire for stuff, and this desire for more of stuff and stuff like, I don't understand that, because we didn't come in this because of stuff. I came in this because I had a need. I had a need to be changed. I had a need for somebody to touch me where it hurt most. And the only one who knew how to do that was Jesus. It doesn't matter what the counselor said. It didn't matter what people told me. There was one man who created me, and he knew where I hurt most of all. It was right down in my soul, and the only one that can give me freedom from my pain, beloved, and I dare you to say his name, is Jesus. It doesn't matter who else comes into your life. There's one name that is above every other name, and at that name, every knee is going to bow. And let me tell you something, beloved, this morning. If you're hurting deep inside, there is a name that can meet your need. If you're hurting where nobody else can touch, there's a name that knows how to meet the need. His name is Jesus. Yeah. Hallelujah. And so I just decided to just forget about all, dismiss all of that other stuff, because Lisa and I, we came up in an age of Christianity. You know, we celebrated our wedding anniversary in December. 40 years, beloved, 40 years of marriage. And it wasn't always good, but we had something taught us that helped us to prepare. And it was that one day Jesus is coming back. And just as she prepped herself for our wedding, I'm prepping myself for his return. I don't know about you, saints, but I want to look like him when he comes back. Listen, I'm going to say it again. I want to look like Jesus when he comes back. I don't want to be found wanting. I don't want to be found looking like this world looks. I want to look like the King when he returns. And so I'm going to encourage you to the best of my ability today. Oh, y'all pray for me. I'm already out of breath. Glory be to God. The preparation of the coming of the Lord. The early church believed that they were in the last days. In Acts chapter 2:17, it says this, "And it shall come to pass that in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see vision, and your old men shall dream dreams." Now we know that was the day of Pentecost, where it began, that the pouring out of his spirit upon all flesh began, which culminated, or which began what we know to as now as the last days. And it was over 2,000 years ago that he poured out his spirit. So if they believed they were living in the last days back then, you better believe that we are living in the last of the last days. Yeah, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is so near. We're going to read something in a minute that shows us that it is near, nearer than we really understand or could imagine. He is so close. You know what I believe right now? I believe Jesus is rising from the throne, and he is standing, no longer sitting at the right hand of the Father, waiting for the command, "Son, go back and get my church." You know that's the good thing about his return? His return is not just about the judgment, but if you love Jesus, he's coming back for you and me. Oh, glory be to God. We don't understand the joy of that, because he's coming back to get you, to collect you, so that you can be with him forever. Oh, that's what the word says. Forever and ever. Amen? Okay, so we know that he's coming. We know that we're living in the last days. And also, the scripture makes it clear that Jesus, I was talking to Lisa about this morning. Jesus doesn't even know when it's going to be time for him to return. He has no idea. And I thought, and the Bible says in Matthew, I mean, I think it's Mark 13, verse 32, it says, "But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." Okay? Nobody else knows. Jesus doesn't know. The Holy Ghost doesn't even know. The only one that knows is the Father. And so that hit me. Here's the Trinity. The Bible says they are three in one. They are one God. One God, yet two-thirds of the Trinity doesn't know about the return of Jesus Christ. And it hit me, suddenly it hit me, that if God hadn't discussed this with the Trinity, and he is talking about coming back for us, then it must be ultimately or really important to him. And if it's really important to God, it needs to be really important to me. That if he's coming back for me, he's not talking about it, I should be preparing for it. Oh, come on, somebody. I should be preparing for his return. Now, some people will say, Vince, but God's a God of grace. Why do we have to have this talk about judgment and all that kind of stuff about him coming back? Let me tell you, because unless somebody tells you that that bus that's coming that is about to hit you, beloved, if you somebody doesn't tell you, it will hit you and you will die. But if somebody tells you that bus is on the way, then you can give glory to God because your life has been reserved for him and he set you free from what was about. Oh, come on. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I need to calm down because y'all might not be feeling this like me. But I feel it deep inside right now. Because he's coming back for us, saints. He's coming back. Okay. Boy, let me. I'm just getting too crazy. We got visitors, and they might look at me like, this man's getting crazy. It's okay? My Lily says okay. Glory. And so I thought about it. If he's not talking about it with Jesus, this is something that's important to God. And he wants us to be ready. You think about that. Here's the bus coming. And I yell at you, look out, the bus coming. And you look at me, why are you screaming at me? You angry at me because I screamed at you that the bus is about to hit you. And that's what it is in church a lot today. When somebody comes and preaches and challenges with the word of God, we're like, why you got to be like that? I'm trying to get you ready for what's coming. Because what's coming okay, now the text goes on. Let's go. To Matthew chapter 24, I'm going to read something. Begin reading at verse 3. Now, I believe we're living in a particular type of day. We're living in a day that I'm going to read to you now that we're in. We're living in these times. The Bible prophesies that there are going to be certain types of times in these last days. And in this text, it tells us what it's going to be like. And some of you are going to say, yeah, that's right. But let's just read it. Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will be these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. I know you've already seen that. You have many people coming talking about they're the Jesus, they're the Christ. And it's going to grow. And that is because we're living in days, beloved, where we are in the last of the last days. And it goes on to say, verse 6, and you will hear of wars, come on, and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And we're living in days when we're seeing countless wars and we're seeing countless threats from nations against nations. We're seeing these things take place right before us right now. But you know what I love about God so much is he gives us a warning and he challenges us. We get so caught up with what's happening in the world, so caught up with what's happening around us, and so involved with today's events. And let me tell you something. I'm not worried about today's events because I am preparing for another world that's coming. I don't have time to worry about what's happening with Brexit or Donald Trump. Let them do what they're going to do. I'm serving the king, and my eyes are on the king. Let them say what they want. I'm holding on to the plan of God that he has for his children. And the Bible says there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Let that stuff go on. We get so caught up and distracted. And we're going to see later on there's some specific things that we as the church and individuals need to be doing. Not caught up with their mess. Because that's all it is. It's just a bunch of mess. Yeah. And it's got us distracted, arguing over we should be in Brexit or we shouldn't be in Brexit. We're arguing over who should be president, not Donald Trump, whatever. My focus is on Jesus. And so I got to finish reading. What verse did I end up on? Anybody got it? Verse 7. Yes, for all nations shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then will deliver you up in tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and will betray one another. You see a lot of that in church, huh? People betrayed. You see it a lot outside, but in church, people betray one another. There's no sanctity of relationships anymore. But you know, I'm going to tell you what God's put me. I'm going to tell you what God I know has put me around, what he wants us to be as a local church. The Bible says when you see these things, you are to look up and rejoice because your redemption is near. I'm not getting caught up with that stuff. I'm looking at the one who's about to come and take me home. Glory be to God. And verse 9, then they will deliver you. No, verse 10. And then many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. He says, because lawlessness abounds, the love of many waxes cold. In other words, there's a lack of love. Now, you know what I love about this church and what we're noted for, and you may not know it, but there's a lot of people who have come up and told us, people who were visiting, is that they said they never experienced love like they've experienced when they come here. You know why that is? You know why that is? It's because we only want to see Jesus. Lisa and I, many years ago, established in our heart, because we've seen all kinds of churches and we've seen all kinds of experiences, we established many years and talked about, beloved, we want to see a place built where people are accepted. Not because of what they look like, not because of what they smell like, not because they got money, and not because they don't, but simply because God loves them. And that's what we want, is an atmosphere where people come through those doors. They're not going to be condemned. They're going to be delivered. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Glory be to God. I grew up in a church where you went to church and they look at you with funny looks because you didn't dress like them. They looked at you with funny looks because you didn't talk like them. But I want a church when people walk in the door, Brother Noah, when they walk in, there's no doubt in their mind they're going to find what they need. Not what they hear about, but what they need. And we need God. Glory be to God. Okay. Now, I think, where am I at now? Just leave that. You know, that describes those days. And it describes what is coming up. I do have a concern, you know, because there's also a thought out there that just because God hasn't come, Jesus hasn't turned up, he's like delaying his time. Oh, and I hear people at times pray, God, don't come, because we still have stuff to do. As if God doesn't know what needs to be done, or nor does he have the ability to make it happen when he wants it to happen. You know, I've learned something through studying this, that if God's not talking to the rest of the Trinity about it, what makes me think I have the right to comment on it? What's that word? What do we say? Mind your business? We better learn how to mind our business. Oh, he's coming back. I don't know. I don't think he's coming back so soon because there's still so many people that need to be saved. Like God's struggling. Like he doesn't know what's going on. The creator of the universe suddenly needs our help to get it done. And we forget that he's the God who spoke and there was light. He spoke and suddenly there was an earth that was formed out of everything that was in a mess. He's God. And so, this is what, now we mistake let me just read 2 Peter 3:9. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, if God is taking his time, it's for the purpose of waiting for people. Listen, and he's not, because he has a plan and he knows where every one of us needs to be. It just seems like that, but he's not. He's just waiting for people to submit and surrender to his will for their life. To say, I'm tired of trying to make it happen for myself. I need your help, God, to fix my life. Many years ago, beloved, when I was hooked up on them drugs, when cocaine was eating away my life, I came to the point where I said, God, I need your help. And God stepped in, restored my marriage, healed my body, delivered me from cocaine. And I'm telling you, beloved, if you submit to God, God has enough power to change your world, to change your life, and to give joy back into your experience. He has enough. Hallelujah. My girl sitting back there right now, she can tell you what me and mom went through. My girl can tell you, my daughter, my oldest daughter, sitting back there with her husband, Mikey. What up, boy? She could tell you the days I sat there in the living room watching horror movies, smoking weed and drinking liquor and trying to make my wife, who is now a Christian, be a part of it. And here's my little girl creeping up. I'm watching all in the stupor, watching boxing, watching all. She's creeping around the corner, crawling around, having a peek. But you know what I'm so glad of now? I serve a God who's not only to take a broken family and fix it, but he can use the family to glorify his name. And beloved, there's many of you, some of you in this room, you're broken. And your relationships are broken. But I'm telling you, there is a God who's able to take the brokenness. He's able to take your mess and turn it into a message. Take your broken pieces and put it back together. He's not like Humpty Dumpty. He's not. He can put it back together again. Okay, let me just leave that. I'm going to move on now. Because there's two ways. God wants to prepare us. And there's, in that preparation for his return, there's two aspects. There's two ways he wants to do that. There's two aspects in your life that he wants to deal with. He wants to deal with the inside and the outside. See, he wants to deal with the inside, so what you project outside is appropriate. See, if you look at the life of a butterfly, I'll just talk to you about the outside like this, the inside rather like this. If you look at the life of a butterfly, and we're going to get to Noah, the text we originally read concerning Noah, we're going to get to that in a minute. But if you look at the life, no, this is my sweat. That's for the sweat, and this is for the nose. But if you look at a butterfly, it shows and depicts the intent that God has for the change that he wants to take place in your life. So when a butterfly starts out, it starts out as an egg. It appears to be no life there. And that's what you were before you came to know Jesus. There did not have any apparent life in you, although there was. And then suddenly it becomes a larva. Or caterpillar. I want to say larva. No, caterpillar. Okay. And a caterpillar just eats. It lives to eat. That's what a caterpillar does. It just lives to eat. Everything in sight. What's up, Ollie? It just lives to eat. It consumes food everywhere. Just eat, 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 eat. And that's a life that you and I share when we first come to Jesus Christ. We eat everything that should be our life when we first come to Christ. Everything that comes from the Word of God, we should be consuming. And then we come to a place of maturity. And that's the chrysalis or the pupa, when it appears to be no life there anymore. But it actually means that you're dead to yourself. You're dead to your own will. How many of you know we have to come to that place in our life with God where it's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me? It's not my will, Lord, but your will be done. And suddenly, when there doesn't seem to be any life, the chrysalis opens up and out comes this glorious butterfly. Glory be to God. One day it's coming, we're going to fly away. One glad morning, when this life is over, fly away. Y'all know that song? By and by, we're going to fly away. That's what it looks like on the inside. That's why Paul wrote, I pray that you be strengthened with might and power on the inner man, because that's where the change takes place. See, I can't maintain an attitude that's unlike Jesus if something is happening and changing on the inside. I can't hate you and say I love God. I can't dislike anything about you and talk about I love God. Something's wrong. And if something's wrong, I need to fix it. What we have today in church is a lot of people that we wear masks. You know what I'm talking about? We pretend. And God wants no more pretense. He wants reality. He wants us to be who he's intended us to be. Take the mask off and let God be God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm not trying to make you feel uncomfortable. I'm just unburdening my heart what God has put into me, because he made me feel a little bit uncomfortable today, this week. You know, them times when you sit with him and you think you're okay. You think everything is all right. And then suddenly he started talking to you. Are you ready, Vince? And I have to say to you this morning, I have to tell you one thing. I have not, and I'm not like this, and I'm not there, and I've not made it. But let me tell you something. I'm going in that direction. I'm not ready, or I don't like, I like to think that I'm ready. And son, he only knows that. But I want to tell you, I am pressing in the direction of becoming like Jesus Christ. So I changed my language, changed my conversation, changed my thoughts. I tried to get rid of all my preferences, you know, and I start wanting to prefer what God wants. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because we got to be like him and we got to be ready. Okay, so the second part is how we're going to prepare. I want you to go to Matthew. We're in Matthew chapter 24, and I'm going to get ready to close with this. Can I say something to you also that we need, reason why we need to look like him? How many of you know about that Bible verse when it talks and he challenges, Jesus comes into the party and he comes into the wedding feast and he sees a man sitting there that doesn't have on his wedding garments? You know what he's talking about? He's saying, you don't look like me. The wedding garments is us. The Romans 8 tells us He's predetermined that we be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And when he goes in the wedding feast, that's the marriage of the bridegroom. That's the marriage of the bridegroom with his bride. And everybody in that party are supposed to look like him. The wedding garment is him. The challenge is, if we don't look like him, we got a problem. So here's what Matthew 24 says. And this is what we know about, I read this in the beginning, I believe, and I'm going to be done in just a moment. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36. But in the day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven and my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Now he says, as the days of Noah, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Beloved, let me tell you, like I was saying a minute ago, what you're building inside to become like that butterfly should reflect in the way you live. When Noah was building the ark, his lifestyle of preparation was seen in his building. Mm-hmm. See, what he was focused on was not what everybody else was focused on. He was focused on what God had put in his heart about what was coming. And therefore, his lifestyle reflected what was happening inside of him. You got to hear this. And he started to build an ark in the preparation of what God had told him was coming. You know, God has put something in our heart. He's coming back for us, beloved. So there should be a building in my life, a preparation for that to...
Calm down now.
There's got to be some building. I wonder what Noah, how he felt. See, we as believers, we don't like anybody thinking we're crazy. Mm-hmm. See, when people look at us, we just want to fit in. We don't want nobody to think, oh, no, I'm getting ready for Jesus to return, because that sounds crazy. When you talk to people out there, listen, Jesus is coming. He really is coming. You need to get ready. Blah, 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 blah. And people look at you. How do they look at you? You're crazy. But Noah had to withstand all of that. And it didn't matter what they said, because he knew that God was faithful. And he was going to do exactly what he said he was going to do. I can't be concerned with what people say. I have to be concerned with what God says. And he is coming back. I need to be doing some building. Here's Noah building. And he's sawing, and they're asking him the question, what you building? And Noah says, I don't even know. Of course we have no idea what it is we're building. We don't know what the church is going to look like. We have no idea what we're building. But we do know that he says he's going to build his church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. Now listen to me, beloved, because I'm going to close. I'm going to get, oh man, I got so much to say. But just calm down. That's all right? Keep going. Come on, tell me. I need encouragement. Just keep going. Just keep going. So, here are they building the ark. And they're building it. And they're laughing at him. And the Bible says they looked at him, and they all continued on what they were doing until Noah closed the door and the rain started. See, I don't want anybody, the reason why I'm like I am, and I talk to people the way I do, because I don't want anybody to miss out of what he's bringing when he comes back. And so here he goes. I got to get done. I got to get this too much. Genesis 6:14 tells us what he uses to build the ark. You don't have to turn, and it talks about two things, cypress wood. And it talks about cypress wood and pitch, two things that he's using to build the ark. Now, this is important, because he says the ark, cypress wood represents a durable substance. Cypress wood is durable. It's far more durable than any other kind of wood. And actually, they refer to it as gopher wood. And what he said, and then the pitch is just simply tar. And it has the ability of sealing out moisture. And what God is simply trying to show and give us a picture is that what's taking place outside should not be able to seep. What's taking place outside should not affect. No matter how it's taking place, how difficult and how hard, but inside,
amen. Hallelujah.
No matter how discouraging and how detrimental it seems out there, inside here, there is a place of refuge. There's a place of peace. Come on, somebody in this place. And he's saying that I want you to build that. Not only the church should be a refuge, I should be a, come on. Somebody should find a place of peace in their relationship with me. There should be something different about me. God should be building something in me. And then where they come to talk to me, I don't talk what they like they talk. I talk a different language. One of peace, one of restoration, one of joy, one of healing, and one of power. Come on, somebody. Okay. I'm going to close now. I am going to close. Because I'm going to close. I really am. See? Close up. Can I just say this to you? God's trying to build something. He doesn't want us to be concerned. He wants us to be concerned with him. Focused on him. Because what we're building is a place of refuge. You see, there's something else about that story. I don't know if you grabbed that. The Bible says that God put out a word and every animal came two by two. Sometimes we waste our time trying to deal with people who don't want Jesus. But there are people out there who really want him. They're tired of what the world has offered. We need to put out a call. Come on, somebody here. We need to put out a clarion call that there is peace, deliverance, salvation. I can introduce you to the man who knows how to fix the man, because the Bible says he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. I don't just have a word. I have the word that people need to hear. Every one of us. And so what we need to realize, we are building something. You are being built. That just like in the days of Noah, all of those thousands of years when the rain began to come, and then everything was being shaken. Everybody who was in that ark, it began to rise above the desolateness, above the problems, above the challenge. God put them in a secret place that couldn't be infected by what was going on. And they were rising above the stuff. And beloved, the day is coming when you are in the church. And the Bible says we are going to rise. And we are going to meet him in the air. And there we shall forever be with the Lord. Come on. I'm getting ready. I don't know about you. You can waste your time on stuff. I'm getting ready for God. Ain't that right, Alice? Yeah, girl. We going to get ready. Let me ask a question. If you're not ready, today you need to get ready. Today's your day. The Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Don't wait for a better day. There'll never come a better day than the day you're in right now. I want everybody to bow their heads. Everybody, just bow your head. Close your eyes. I want you. Everybody.